That's what I called you.
This is the meeting of the Community Services Committee meeting. The first item on this, well, first let me do a roll call here. President Bullock, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Bell, Councilman Street, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Weiner, Councilwoman Diller, Councilman Redder. This is my legislative aide, Nikai Triller, and Councilman Hollins. The first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the April 23rd meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
The minutes have been adopted. There's only one item on this afternoon's agenda, so going forward, it doesn't make a lot of sense to come back to a meeting for one legislative piece of legislation, one legislative item, I should say. So going forward for community services, if we're not talking about the business of community services, programs, and so forth, these types of items that are legislative will appear will be covered in the Finance Committee, because usually they have to deal with finance anyway. They will still be sponsored by Councilwoman Diller and myself as co-chairs of community services, but we will not come back for a special meeting just to deal with two or three or four pieces of legislation that we're going to be discussing, voting on tonight, and we can discuss in a Finance Committee meeting. So I think that's the more efficient way to handle these. But we will have a bona fide Community Services Committee meeting next month. We will talk about, I believe, our updates to HUD and the impediment to fair housing. Let me just add, I just returned from the Congressional Black Caucus on Sunday evening. I will not give a report today, but I will be giving a verbal report at least very soon. There were a number of workshops and brain thrusts in Washington related to fair housing, inclusionary zone, and affordable housing, especially in fair housing. I think you'd be surprised at some of the kinds of things that are going on around this country still today, almost 50 years after the passage of the Fair Housing Act. But I will certainly give that report. I look forward to giving that report. One of the other things that I did attend a brain thrust in Washington for the first time, I think, in the national discussion, is about first responders. I will also report briefly on that as well. I spent most of my time in Washington on housing issues, but the first responders issue has been getting a lot of national attention, where you have very little, if any, minority participation in first responders in the ranks of firefighters, as well as in the ranks of the emergency medical technicians. So that's an issue now that's coming to be discussed in Washington, and I think it's going to increase with the coming years. Most of the opportunities for minorities in the first responders has been as a result of the what is called consent decrees, a matter of court decisions back in the 60s and 70s. And as minority members from that time are retiring, there are no minorities in the pipeline in a lot of jurisdictions across the country. And folk from across the country was discussing this issue of the lack of participation and the lack of diversity among first responders. So I will also talk briefly about that at another time, and probably about a month from now at the latest. The one item on the agenda for this evening is ordinance number 13072, and I'm going to ask Councilwoman Diller to
Yeah, thanks, Councilman Hollins. This is for the Section 8 Housing Voucher Program. This provides administrative expenses as well as rental and utility subsidies. So that's $420,000.
Any comment, question, members of council?
Anything?
Alan Mattis, Department of Community Services. What this is, it's our port-in program, meaning that individuals who move into Newcastle County, according to HUD, anyone can move anywhere and take the vouchers with them. We need to front the money for payments. Unfortunately, this money does not come from HUD. It comes from other housing authorities. So basically what it ends up being is a big account receivable sitting out there. And we'll get paid, but not in the time and manner that we can pay the landlord. So what this allows us to do is to readjust the budget so we can make the payments until such time that we actually receive the money from the other authorities. And with that, for a little more detail, Carrie Casey, our department.
This is Carrie Casey with Division of Community Development Housing. Good afternoon. As General Manager Mattis mentioned, this is, if you recall, we come in about October to discuss our calendar year budget for 13, and so much happened between October and March. We had sequestration cuts we thought looming in January that ended up actually happening at the end of March, and then HUD actually notified us of our budget in June. And back in September, we anticipated being able to take clients off our waiting list and to be able to absorb these clients that are moving into our jurisdiction. And really unprecedented times, for the first time, our housing payments were cut by 5%, which was the sequestration cut, which equals about $750,000. And because of that, we have, our main focus is keeping everyone stably housed that we currently have, and we are unable to absorb clients. We have to bill other housing authorities, which is what General Manager Mattis said. Sadly, because our budget was cut even just 5%, we aren't able to take one client off our waiting list, which is for the entire year. And so this is, as General Manager Mattis said, a realignment of our budget. And since we aren't able to absorb clients, which, you know, is a whole other, you know, administrative burden, as General Manager Mattis said, we have to bill the housing authority, and therefore the money doesn't come directly from HUD. It comes from another housing authority. It's a wash, but we have to appropriate those funds so we can get to the end of the year. We will have we project about 119 port in clients. So we'll be billing various housing authorities all over the country for these 119 clients. And, you know, we have been told by HUD that it's a Ouija board in terms of what you will be getting next year, which for us begins January 1. So we will have to remain status quo until we know more, because we could be, you know, we could be hit with even more additional cuts. But luckily, we've been able to not take anyone off Section 8, thank goodness, and we've worked diligently to make sure we have the funding to keep us going. And like many housing authorities around the country are struggling, they're, you know, literally giving up at this point. We know we can keep our base and our clients housed, and this is just a tweaking of the budget. So that's just probably more detail than you need, but.
Councilman Cartier, Weiner, Smalley.
I don't think, you know, we should get into it in this meeting, but I think it's a future meeting. I would ask the co-chairs if they would, you know, provide an overview of the Section 8 program and the magnitude of it, and just to refresh council. I guess my question is, you're speaking about how when the clients poured in to the system and you have to bill the housing, respective housing authority, where they came from. Are you anticipating problems getting a payment, or do you think that this is going to work okay for you?
Well, it's Carrie Casey with Community Services. I mean, they're required by HUD regulation and law that they have to reimburse us. The only way they wouldn't be able to reimburse us is if they literally had no money and were in a situation where, you know, they were shutting down.
How long do you have to wait for a payment?
Oh, we bill immediately.
When do we receive the funds?
Well, within 30 to 60 days. I mean, and we have many clients. You know, most of our big are Wilmington Housing Authority, obviously, Philadelphia, Chester. So we have chunks, which makes it a little bit easier. But there have been times that our staff has had to work diligently and contact HUD when we haven't been reimbursed. But we work. We have a good system in place. It just, you know, again, it is an administrative. It's not just you're getting your money from HUD, you're good. I mean, you have to go and bill the housing authority. But that's the reality, and we're seeing it on the other end, where clients are moving to different jurisdictions, and we're being billed. No one is absorbing any clients right now. And because of that, you know, so it's a two-way, you know, street. We're being billed, they're being billed. But we have a good system in place, and we work as hard as we can to get every single penny back because we need it.
One last question. How, what's a typical year? Is this, you're saying 113 are moving in, and then typically what is the shift in your population coming in and leaving?
We have about 14 a month with attrition. That's moving out or being terminated. We have about 14 to 20 coming in currently, porting into Newcastle County. So 118, we've never had that many clients, because usually halfway through the year, we start to absorb some of those clients to get our voucher utilization as high as we possibly can. That's something we're very proud of, because we're able to utilize as many vouchers. But as highly utilized as we are, that helps us get more administrative funding. It's like an awful catch-22. When you start to lose vouchers, you don't get as much administrative dollars. So we have projections that go out 5 years. So usually about halfway through the year, we begin to absorb, and then we're able to get our numbers back up. But this year, we won't be able to absorb one client or take one client off our waiting list, which is really what, you know, because we have 750 on our waiting list currently since 2009.
Thank you.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Members of council and general manager Mattis, we don't have to take this sitting down. I suggest that we partner with the administration and push back. We want to make sure that our congressional delegation is clearly understanding that this is an underfunded mandate and there's strength in numbers. So despite whatever differences we might have on other issues, I hope that this is an issue we can all get behind. Through the National Association of Counties, throughout the country, there is a united voice on this, and we all need to be part of that.
And to that point, Councilman Weiner, this body did send a letter to our congressional delegation regarding sequester and the impact it would have on the quality of life for a number of Newcastle County residents. And in fact, I did get a response from Senator Coons as well as Senator Carper. They did respond to the letter that I sent to them regarding our concern about sequester. But unfortunately, sequester is taking an impact in housing and a lot of other issues. I think what we heard the gentleman say earlier today with the reserve ROTC, the result of sequester has hit them as well. So it's a very unfortunate period of time for all of us, but certainly I think that your comment is well taken. We will continue to be very diligent, but I think we do have a sensitive body representing us in the Congress who's on top of this issue and is very concerned as we are.
Yeah, I sent a similar letter as well to Congressman Carney, and I hadn't heard back either. I'm just wondering if it's not their protocol to respond, or they haven't taken a position, or what.
Well, Carper as
well. Carney.
Carney, I'm not certain. I don't remember. Nikai, did you recall seeing one from Congressman Carney? I don't recall getting a response from Congressman Carney.
Nor did I.
Either. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just concerned. Maybe a follow-up of some sort. I'll put a call in myself on my letter.
Okay, sure. Yeah, right. We'll revisit that to him. He's the only one I cannot recall getting a response from.
Right.
Thank you. Councilman Smiley and Councilman Street.
Yeah. I'm not questioning what you're doing or why. I understand all of that. I'm just curious as to what, if any, departmental adjustments have to be made because of the shift in funds. And I apologize, I don't have your legislation in front of me. I don't know if it will tell me that or not. Or do you anticipate that you'll have the funds returned before it would have any effect where you would have to make any adjustments?
Carrie Casey, I mean, basically when a client ports into the county, we set them up in our software system and they're paid through tier, and we automatically send the bill. So we anticipate, once you get on that system and they reimburse you right away. It wasn't as simple as we could move money from the rental line to the port in line, because the money, though it's coming from HUD, is coming from a different housing authority. It's basically appropriating that money to come from the other housing authorities to pay us.
Okay.
And in terms of administrative tweaks, we obviously have people making sure that they're set up and that we're paying or getting reimbursed. We monitor that constantly. But this is just straight rental subsidy. Our operating dollars that's what pays the administrative costs for everything. So this is just the basic rent for those port-in clients to the remainder of the year.
The day-to-day operation is part of the bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Street.
Well, got everything you talked about, and then you got the potential of government being shut down next week. And, the battle's got to be won not just with our congressional delegation, and I agree with your assessment of that situation, but got to create some attention to this that has not been given to it before. I mean, as we speak, the wait list for the city is 3 years. Got folks who are homeless right now, either in the street or going from family to friend, and can't even get on the list. So you put this year's sequester confronted with the potential for government shutdown, and then the sequester problem doesn't go away next year, and you've got folks sleeping on the street. And I've been screaming about homeless people and folks sleeping in front of the train station and back on their park, et cetera, and at the end of the day, some people get hungry enough, they get cold enough, they'll commit a crime to do something about it. So I think this is a lot more serious than some folks realize, and I think we should be talking about it on an ongoing basis and treating it as serious as it is.
And I would agree with those comments. I think we're living in a very difficult time in this country, in this county. Part of what happened at the Congressional Black Caucus, as I mentioned, was the issue of housing, more so than I've ever seen it discussed before. The fact of the matter is the President of the United States of America attended the gala on Saturday evening and spoke very solemnly. Usually when the President speaks, it's pretty upbeat. It's pretty, you know, but this is the first time I've seen the President speak where you can sense the frustration. However, he did say the threat to shut down this government would not happen. He said that very emphatically, but the President, too, has lost some before. But I think the idea that there are some folk in Congress who are willing to shut the government down simply because they don't want certain Americans to have the right to health care is what this issue is all about. He made that very clear. So Washington is very aware of this, especially those people who think like most of us, and I think they're pushing very hard to make certain it doesn't happen, but it may. But your point is well taken. I think it behooves all of us to go back to our jurisdictions to recognize the threat to all of us and to do whatever we can about it to make certain it doesn't happen. Councilman Redder.
Thank you. I don't know if you touched on it or not, Councilman, but along with what Kerry Casey reported on the housing and everything, is there any correlation between that and your meeting down in Washington?
Well, I think what Kerry is reporting on is a mandate from HUD for the most part. We are required to have a report on the impediments to fair housing annually. There are a few other things that we're required to do as recipients of the HUD's millions of dollars that we receive from HUD. One of the things that was talked about in Washington is that HUD is not doing enough to ensure fair housing. In Delaware, at least in Newcastle County, I think the only agency that we actually partner with is HON, and HON does testing. What the feds are saying now is that HUD should have a greater responsibility. The legislation is in committee now, sponsored by Congressman Green from the state of Texas, to make certain that there's funding there to make certain that HUD is now going to do proactive testing as opposed to testing. Discrimination is still live and well in the housing in the United States of America. Most of this testing is done by folk who are going there to ask questions. If you're a minority, are you treated similarly than the dominant culture? What the results have shown is that if you are a minority, you may be shown 20% of the units that the dominant culture may see. So if you're a minority, they may show you four houses or four apartments. And if you're from the dominant culture, they would probably show you 20 houses or 20 apartments. So that's one thing that's been consistent with all of the testing that we've seen so far. But for our jurisdiction, I think there are certain things that I would talk about later, certain things that we're trying to do in working with this administration that I sent back, as a matter of fact, emails to both the county executive as well as our new land use administrator on these issues, and the contact person, some of the people I met in Washington. And they both have responded. The county exec said he would also review some of the research that has happened across this country on this issue, and as well as Eileen Fogarty, our new general manager of land use. So they're on touch with this, and what we're planning to do with Mr. Guy sitting in the back of the room there, sort of heading this up from the administration side, is to look at our affordable housing legislation and to see how we can tweak it to make it a better product, a product that is meaningful and something that we can actually measure. So we are working on this as we speak. Any comment, question for any other member of council? Any other member of the public? Seeing none?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.